אתם עם SBS בעברית.
יום הזיכרון לשואה ולגבורה, the Holocaust Memorial Day, was last week, the 8th of April. And it was observed as Israel's day of commemoration for the 6 million Jews who perished in the Holocaust. And the Australian Jewish community was actually held ceremonies also on Erev Yom HaShoah, on the 7th and on the 8th, and also was holding services, Yizkor services this morning at cemeteries around the country. And our guest is Dr. Michael Abrams Prod. He's an historian specializing in Jewish history and the Holocaust at Sydney University. And let's talk to him.
The topic that I chose was the Jews of Magdeburg. And many people will probably think, particularly even those who understand a map of Europe, where is Magdeburg? Magdeburg is almost in the middle of Germany geographically. It was, importantly, a key Jewish center. The community had existed for close to 1,000 years prior to Nazism. And the reason why I chose this is I wanted to choose a community in the former East Germany, because prior to 1989, archival access was very limited, if not at all. And also, what I wanted to do, I wanted to work with primary sources, finding survivors from a community that had settled in Australia, because I wanted this Australian link. And whilst there were a few communities, Magdeburg was the one that won out, because at the time when I started the project, which is a long time ago now, it's 1996, there were over 16 survivors from Magdeburg who were still in Sydney and Melbourne, and also a few in other states, and I interviewed those. But the other element that I want to stress as well, I always term it to people, I had Jewish questions about a Jewish experience. And this is to say, I wanted to look at their story from the bottom up. Whilst I was interested in the perpetrators, I was more interested in what was it like for Jews. How were Jews living everyday lives? So with that in mind, my interview focus was all about these individuals and then building in the story. The marrying of these two, what I call the archival material, with the stories, I like to say that what would normally be a black and white picture ends up a color picture. You have these stories of everyday individuals fitted into this bigger picture.
So what were the main findings of your research, of your PhD?
The main findings were that in the case of this city, it was one of the most Nazified in the whole of Germany. And this was simply because of local conditions. So you had a local government, local council of the city, professional associations, and importantly, the local Nazi party, which all worked very, very collectively together to implement anti-Jewish policy from day one. And this created a very, very toxic environment. When I say that, clearly when we're talking Nazism and we're talking Germany, and even, of course, areas once the Germans waged war and conquered territory, it doesn't matter what level we're talking about, there was an impact on the Jews. But that impact varied to those local factors. And in the case of Magdeburg, what I found in all domains, there were variations, and that comes down to individuals and experiences. But when we're looking at everything ranging from expropriation of businesses, so people being forced to sell their businesses, the experiences of children going to school, to the experiences of Jews wanting to emigrate, the situations deteriorated very quickly and very dramatically.
So the Jews of Magdeburg stayed in Magdeburg until when?
Like most other communities, there were key moments where Jews decided to leave. But for those who remained, for any number of reasons, there were a sizable number. Also remember, a number of these Jews went to other countries and ended up being caught up in the Shoah, but in other places. But in Magdeburg, the final solution very much arrives around Pesach in 1942, when the first deportation takes place and the Jews are deported to the Warsaw Ghetto. There were a number of major deportations after this. There were three that went to the east. There were even more that went to Theresienstadt. But the end result was a very effective and a very quick deportation, so much so that by the time we look at early 1945, other than a small number of Jews who are in what the Nazis called privileged mixed marriages, there are no Jews in the city, and there are only a handful of Jews who are living on false identity or even living underground. And so it means that by the time the Shoah is over, the mortality rate of this city, when we're talking about Jews, what I would call the attrition rate, so the death rate, is abnormally high. It's higher than the rest of Germany.
Did you have a chance to speak to the local population, the Germans?
Only a small number, because as you can imagine, I interviewed in the 90s. Those that I did interview were sympathetic, of course, to the project, but also had been former friends of some of the Jewish interviewees. And their discussion of all things Nazi was generally quite muted. Possibly a selective amnesia. They may not remember, or they don't choose to remember. It's no different when we think about the measures that were actually imposed on the Jews of Germany, which were a myriad. They were the number of edicts against Jews affecting their everyday life was just mind-boggling. It was almost daily. This is the thing that I find quite interesting, where it was impossible to not notice that your neighbours had been evicted. There were benches in the park for Jews only. The Jews could not visit cinemas. The Jews were asked to get off trams. And these are the things that seldom come into the discourse if you have the opportunity to talk to people. But having said that, on a number of occasions when I'd given public addresses in the city, it was surprising, particularly in the early days, so I'm talking late 90s, and at that time, by the way, I must also stress, I was still a bit of a novelty in the city. I think I was almost treated as a little bit of as something exotic. Here this was this individual from Australia who was researching the Jews of this German city. And occasionally people would actually make comments based upon either their own memory or what I would call an invented memory of how they wanted to see that time, which simply did not stand up to the data that I'd amassed and even the experiences of the population. I must say, at the early days, it was not uncommon for someone to raise their hand and say, well, we did this and we did this, and it was simply not the case. For individuals to say that they did not notice things is an absolute fantasy. When we think about the myriad of laws, they impacted daily life 24 hours a day, and it's simply a case of people choosing simply not to notice.
Can you give us an example of those laws?
A very good example is, and I can give you an instance from testimony where in Magdeburg as an example, and it gives you an idea of the Nazification, and this was prior to the Nazis implementing this law, the authorities were going to put signs on trams indicating that Jews were not permitted to ride on trams. Magdeburg, in its anti-Semitic fervour, decided that it would put the signs on, and instead of them being plastic transparencies, they would make more durable signs out of aluminium, and they would actually be screwed into the tram. And on one occasion, and in fact one of our key communal members who's now passed away, the late Jerry Levy, who was a president of the Board of Deputies, Jerry told me that one day he and his parents were travelling on a tram, the signs were already on them, a family group was sitting opposite. When the Levys boarded the tram, the father in the family approached the conductor, and this father knew them. The father approached the conductor and said, these people are Jews. The conductor then approached Mr. and Mrs. Levy and said, are you Jewish? And he said, yes, we are. And then instructed them that they had to get off the tram at the next stop. When we think of these, what I call these micro instances, there were millions of them happening all the time.
Dr. Michael Abrams Sproud, thank you very much. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.